If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Listening to Silent Lady, Artful Dodger. For more, a band fronted by Tom Hamilton Jr. of Ghostlight, Lacuna, and Joe Russo's Almost Dead. This project isn't a new one for Tom, but instead a rebirth, if you will, as he reassembled members of the original Brothers Past lineup to jam in his newly minted studio, nicknamed The Ballroom. I sat down with Tom to get the skinny on more, and as per usual with Tom, our conversation went everywhere. Busy enough for you?
You know, it's a unique it's a unique trait of mine to overload my plate.
Hey, you know what you should do?
Mm.
You should pack all your bags, get ready to go to a warm climate.
I mean, you know, man, what are you gonna do? I was sitting on a jet. I was sitting on a private jet in Philadelphia, ready to go.
I could tell. But you like the memes. The memes were outstanding.
Dude, unfucking. I was laughing so fucking hard, man. It's I mean, the whole thing's just fucking hilarious, you know? I mean, honestly, the whole thing, like, you know, the being on the jet, like, dude, I'm totally kidding. I don't give a shit. It was fine. You know, it's like, I wasn't planning on, you know, that wasn't like in my plans to go there anyway. So like, they were like, hey, can you do it? I was like, yeah, I could do it. And then they're like, hey, you know what? We're just going to cancel, which was the smooth and what they should have done, you know? Like, I had gotten COVID like a month before. So, you know, I was like, all right, I'll go because I already got this fucking thing recently and I'll be, you know, I'm probably not going to get it again. But, you know, they made the right call, you know? I mean,
it just sucks that they couldn't have made the call a little quicker, you know? Like, that's all.
Dude, yeah, you know, every Monday morning quarterback, everything, you know, that's the, you know, it's like, it's just like what everybody does is they take something and then say, well, I wish it was this. And it's like, well, it wasn't this, it was this. And this is what it was. And, you know, everybody's doing the best they can. You know, they're all doing
people
the best
something
they can
to talk about.
Yeah. People. Yeah. I mean, or complain about, you know, but you know, hey man, that is a, they were in a fucking impossible situation and you know, it went the way it went. You know, what are you going to do? You know, I applaud them for making the
all good
call and you know, it is what it is. What are you going to do? You and your fucking Maple Leafs hat.
I did it on purpose. I swear I did it on purpose because I saw your thing about the Flyers just being fucking awful. So I thought I'll rub it in even more.
I mean, dude, I will say this and no one talks about it because they just like the bitch. But like, dude, I was at the game on Monday night, right? Me and my lady were like right behind the bench, like on glass behind the bench. And I'm looking at the bench and dude, the bottom six of their forwards are all AHL guys. They're all minor league dudes. Like none of those dudes are fucking NHL bottom six players. It's like, of course they suck. They might as well have like me and you playing on this. You know, it's like, dude, you know, I'm not saying they would have won the cup if their dudes are fucking, if everybody was healthy. I'm just saying I don't think they're this bad of a team.
I'm so glad that you released another record from the Moore sessions because Uzazuz was so much fun and watching it was so much fun. And now we have Live from the Ballroom Floor. For the uninitiated, for those people that didn't manage to catch the live streams, before we dive into the music, I think it would be worth talking about the band itself because these are all, for the most part, high school buddies, right? Scotty Zwang is the only current guy, and he probably wasn't alive when you were in high school.
A, fuck you. B, now what? So, all right, here's the deal. It's convoluted. My first real band was a band called Brothers Past, and you know we did pretty well for ourselves up until about 2006. You know we built a thing up until you know we played the main stage at Bonnaroo. You know we opened for Dave Matthews. We had some really cool music. We made a really great record called This Feeling's Called Goodbye that came out in 2005. That, you know, people, you know, our age jam banders still talk about that record quite a bit. That band originally was more. That band originally started as me and my older brother and a couple guys from high school. We started playing in 97-ish, right? So like I'm like right out of high school. And we just started playing like at shitty bars all around Philadelphia and the suburbs. And then we met Tom McKee, the keyboard player, in 98. And he joined the band. And then we started kind of expanding. And we were regional. We played, you know, we basically just played like the Northeast. We played from Boston, you know, to Philadelphia. You know, we would play the Wetlands. You know, we were one of the last Wetlands bands. You know, shit like that. And then in 2000, in April of 2000, the drummer, my brother, the guitar player, and the bassist, Joe, all were just like, dude, you know, for different reasons, we're just like, this isn't what we want to do with our lives. You know, we don't want to, I mean, it's a dick breaking job, you know, like to build a thing, man. It's hard as fuck. And, you know, you could ask any of the bands right now that are going through it, you know? And, but, you know, and I knew then, and I know now still, you know, that it's like, all you got to do is just keep working. You know, if you just keep working, you're going to get to where you need to get to, you know? And, you know, you look at bands like Pigeons, you know, I remember meeting those guys when they were first fucking doing the grind years ago, and, you know, and look how they're, you know, they're killing it right now. And, you know, I mean, any band, you know, like if you stick with it and you work hard, you're going to good things are going to happen. So those three dudes split, which left me and Tom McKee, the keyboard player. And we were, you know, and we were like, well, we want to keep playing. We want to do the thing, you know? So Brothers Past then became what people ended up knowing. You know, we got a new rhythm section, Clay Parnell, Rick Lowenberg, and we reinvented the band basically and just build it up. And then, you know, that ended up burning out in like 06 or so. But the original band, the original version of that band, I've always thought, I've been saying this for fucking 20 years. I think that band would have been one of the biggest things in this scene if we stayed together. It was a very unique group of dudes, you know, the core four that are still playing together, me, my brother, and Joe D'Amico on bass and Tom McKee on keys. All four of us are songwriters. All four of us are lead singers. And we learned how to improvise together. You know, we as a group and as a group of young dudes, I mean, we're talking at the time, I'm 18 maybe. And, you know, like we're basically going from like 17 to 21. We're chasing something. We wanted something different. You know, we were coming out of high school. We were playing, you know, Grateful Dead and Almond's tunes and Fish tunes. And we wanted to do something that was ours. We were like, okay, we're going to be in this scene. We need to contribute to the scene and not just sound like everything. And, you know, we worked really hard on coming up with just, you know, what at the time we thought was our own thing and our own style of improvising, a very group improvising type of thing. You know, I believe the kids today call it type two. But, you know, like not like the thing where it's like, you know, the rhythm section is holding down a groove or a progression and somebody's solo and you just take turns soloing over it. You know, it was this group thing and where everybody had a say in what was happening. And it was basically like, you know, it was like if you had five cats all standing around like one little toy, right? And one cat hits it and it goes, and then the other cat hits it and it goes a different direction. And, you know, and that's the game, right? It's not a thing really where it's one person doing anything, you know? There wasn't like a hierarchy in the band, which was, it was just, you know, it was just a great fucking band. It was a real good group of dudes. And, you know, every band I've been in since then, I've been trying to teach that kind of like egoless way of improvising, you know, of like not worrying, you know, only worry about what you're doing in the context of, is it helping what everybody else is doing, you know, which is not an easy thing to get to, you know, not an easy place to get to.
Right. Well, I mean, it's in one of your bands, it's probably harder because everybody in the band is an accomplished musician in some way, but it must be easier maybe in Ghostlight because you're leading the thing. Like you have an opportunity to sort of, without being the leader. And I know we've talked about this, but at least you have the most experience out of everybody to push an agenda potentially. So maybe that's why those jams are so good. But this band, I get the impression, at least from the more sessions, that the instrumental stuff or the jamming or the type two jams or whatever you want to call it, even though you've been away for a while, it seems like it's just natural and that it just really fell in. Like, I don't get the sense that you practiced a lot of this stuff over and over again. I don't get the sense that people weren't on the same page. It's very cohesive.
I mean, dude, our last gig was in April of 2000, was the last time we played together. And then fast forward to, I feel like it was like maybe September of 2020 was the first time we got together. And dude, it like nothing had changed, you know, like at all. We just knew how to talk to each other, you know. I mean, the reason that we have a different drummer is because the rest of us had kept playing even though we separated. We all know, I mean, me and Tom McKee kept playing in Brothers Past for another few years, you know, and Joe the bass player had like a bluegrass band that he played with regionally around Philadelphia for, you know, he's been doing most of the time since then, you know. And my older brother, he's been playing with me here and there, you know. He was in American Babies when it started, and you know, any chance I can get to get him to play with me, I find, you know, whether it was the baby stuff or, you know, acoustic shows or just anything, you know, he's my brother. We just have that thing, you know. So yeah, man, we didn't have to really talk about it or practice it, you know. And at the time when I was getting them together, Scotty was living at my house because he was going through a breakup, and you know, and was there. So it was like, oh, dude, let's get the crew together. I got Scott right here, you know, who we and him have been developing a language through Ghostlight, you know, so he understood. If you know, it's like, if you understand where I'm coming from, you're going to understand where the other guys are coming from, you know. So yeah, man, it just fucking worked. And you know, we gave Scott a little bit of time to like listen to the tunes, learn the forms, and yeah, it was a surprising amount of muscle memory.
These are all Brothers Past songs, or are these new songs that you've written or songs that you shaved?
They're all songs that, so when the transition happened between like the old guard and the new guard in Brothers Past, we shelved 90% of the catalog, you know, because, well, a lot of it was written by, you know, like the other guys had a hand in writing a lot of it, and we didn't want to necessarily, you know, play all their stuff. And we also kind of just wanted to like have this new band stand on its own feet, you know. So we retired a lot of those tunes, you know. There was only a small number of songs that made it after we got a new rhythm section. So these are all songs that we wrote between 97 and 2000. You know, these songs are over 20 years old.
What's amazing about that fact is that they are very mature in their approach. These aren't, you know, these are well put together pieces. I'm thinking of, you know, Corduroy Joe and Silent Lady, Artful Dodger, notwithstanding, because I think, you know, Silent Lady to me sounds a lot like, what is it called in St. Stephen? William Tell's Overture. Silent Lady is very William Tell to me.
I'll take that.
But that's okay.
Yeah, of course it's okay. We were fucking 18 when we wrote it.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is that this stuff is great. And then the jams, like the jams in Utopiary Window and the jams in Ballad of the Misguided Shadow, those are really mature musician jams. And the fact that you were playing these 20 years ago and remembered them and were able to make them new again and just sound so great must be totally rewarding.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Our bass player, Joe, I mean, he said it a few times, you know, he's just like, man, it's crazy. We wrote these tunes when we were so young, but we were too young to know how to play them well, you know? Knowledge comes with age, man. And it's like, you know, yeah, okay, man, we all got some gray in our beard and less hair up top, but like, you know, we're all much better players than we ever were, you know, and we're able to take that and to give these tunes what they deserve and what they, you know, what they needed, which was just a little bit more finesse, you know?
Is More a touring band, or are you guys a studio band, or are you a weekend when you don't have anything else going on, you'll hit a club in Philly or you'll hit somewhere in New York? Like, what's the, you're playing in February, I know, and that show is only 100 tickets and I'm sure it's already sold out, but I'm sure it was sold out the moment you.
Sold out like 2 hours.
Shocking. What's the plan here? I mean, you're a busy dude.
We don't know. I am a busy dude. Not to switch gears, but you know, like, yeah, I'm in the studio right now working on a Ghostlight record, you know? I think we're just like that. The other thing is that we're all older and you know, patience. It's just kind of like, it's a thing. Nobody's like frantically like trying to push anything. It's like, hey, let's just make sure we keep enjoying ourselves.
You and Scotty are the only full-time musicians, like touring musicians right now, right?
Yes. So, you know, my brother has kids in high school. The bass player, Joe, has younger kids that are in grade school. So, you know, there are those things that, you got to think about and work around. And, but yeah, it's interesting having all the things that we have now, being able to stream shit and, you know, the fact that I have the studio, and the keyboard player, Tom McKee, he owns a School of Rock franchise right outside of Philadelphia, which is where we're doing this show. It has its own venue in it. It's a 300 person fucking venue. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's a possibility that we just kind of keep it, or at least for a little while, you know, keep doing these little shows. You know, hey, 100 tickets, 150 tickets. Let's keep it special, keep it small, and just make cool evenings, you know? And you know, we'll stream them probably, or at least film them and record them all and you know, put them out as it happens, I guess. But yeah, you know, it's like, I'm at the point where I just want to make good art, you know, in my free time. You know, I've been so lucky to have the J-Rad thing and everything that's given all of us in that band. And, you know, I think it's very important to me that everything else that I do is something that I really love, you know, I really love and I really believe in, you know, it's important, you know, because, you know, the dead thing, I mean, I never wanted ever to be in a Grateful Dead cover band. That was never like my career goal. You know, I wanted to be the band in the scene that kept the Grateful Dead's ethos going. You know, the always be pushing yourselves and pushing each other and pushing your audience, you know, to make sure the song is there, to make sure you're writing great songs, you know, and you know, hey, if you got great songs, the jams will come, you know, but you got to make sure that you're really focusing on the songwriting and saying something and trying to contribute to not only your canon, but to just the general fucking lexicon of our scene and our world. And, you know, and because of J-Rad, you know, I have the opportunity to make sure that anything that I'm doing outside of that falls into that thing. And even in J-Rad, I think we're doing a service to that music. You know, we're bringing it to a younger generation. We've brought a different, you know, edge to it that, you know, that all the guys, you know, that I've spoke to in the actual band and the Dead have all, they all appreciate what we're doing and understand it. And, you know, so yeah, man, you know, it's like, I went back to more just taking it as it comes and, you know, making sure the playing is great and the songs are still great and just get it out there. And just and if people respond, they respond. If they don't, they don't. But it's still there, and it's still something that's a part of my legacy of you know, whatever the fuck it is that I've created and that I'm going to keep creating. You know, I just want at the end of the day, man, you know, right before the lights go out, I want to be able to look back and be like, hey, dude, you know, maybe fucking nobody listened to any of that shit, but I know it's good. You know, I know it's cool fucking music, and somebody at some point will probably discover it, you know?
Are you guys going to write new music?
We've been writing new music for the last 7 months or a year. Yeah, we have like 5 new tunes. This show that we're going to do in February, we're doing it because we want to play we want to play the new songs. So yeah, we're going to play like, I think, 4 new tunes at the show in February.
And then stuff from this record,
yeah,
and then old stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, like the Ooze Azuz and the Live from the Ballroom. Yeah, we'll do shit off of both of those releases and a bunch of new stuff, you know, just to kind of start working it out and feeling it out, you know. And it's funny because, man, the songwriting, it's the same as it's ever been, you know. I mean, it's funny watching. Did you watch the Get Back?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Documentary. I mean, dude, watching that shit. That's exactly how that band has worked since we were kids. And the parallels, comparing ourselves to the Beatles, you know what I mean? But just like the creative process, you know, like seeing how they just sat around a room and just kicked around ideas and we've been, you know, that's how we've always done it. And, you know, 2 decades later, we're still doing it that way. You know, it's just the 5 of us in the room fucking be like, well, I don't know. That might be a little fucking lame, that thing. How about we try this and try that and try that and just fucking work it out every way you can until we find the thing that feels the best. You know?
How different is that process from the Ghostlight process?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, with more, like I said, you know, the having 4 songwriters is a different thing, you know. And I will not say either way is better, that, you know, because each way has its own set of like things that make it cooler and things that make it more of a drag, you know. With Ghostlight, it's more so, you know, like Rain and I are the songwriters in that band, and that's not to take away anything from what Scott and Holly bring to the band, you know. But like that band was designed in a very like specific way, you know. It was like, okay, Raiden and I bring this songwriting element that no one else has, you know, in this group of people, you know. But Scott and Holly bring this improvising element that, you know, that like at the time, especially in the beginning, you know, Raina didn't have in her quiver, you know. And like, you know, it's, you know, it was this thing that was, I wanted to make sure, you know, with, there's the strong songwriting element, there's the song improvising element, and everybody's covering each other's strong points and weak points, you know? So it's definitely much more of like Rain and I are fleshing things out. And then we bring them into Ghostlight, into the room. And it's like, all right, you know, this is where, you know, these are the demos that we made. Let's kind of work it out with the band. But where Ghostlight takes ownership of that shit is when we go on the road, you know, and you know, we get on tour, and that's when it's, you know, everybody owns these songs, and every, you know, and everybody gets to just work them out.
Do you think that, I mean, this is sort of a rhetorical question, but that the J-Rad thing has allowed you the ability to actually work on projects that you really want to work on, because you know that you have 50 dates, you're getting paid for those 50 dates or whatever, how many ever dates you do each year?
40.
40. Okay. We should do 50, really. You should do, anyway, I won't say what I think you should do, but
hey man, we keep it special. You know, you got to keep-
I know. But those 40 dates allow you to do these other projects, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about necessarily where the next meal's coming from because you have guaranteed income in a certain way, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it is a life-changing gift. J-Rad has been for all of us, everybody in that band. You know, it has changed our lives. I am so grateful, no pun intended. Fuck it, pun intended. I mean, you know, I am, man. You know, I mean, I've always, you know, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I've always loved the Dead, and I've always, you know, been into what they're doing, and I'm so grateful that, you know, this is where we are, and that, you know, we got here, and like I said, man, you know, we're carrying these tunes into a different place, and it's affording us all to do whatever the fuck we want in the rest of our lives, which, you know, we've earned it, man. You know, everybody in that band we've all been breaking our dicks on the road for fucking 20 years, man. You know, like, you know, this band more, these guys, we started in 97. You know, hey man, in 97, Russo was in Fat Mama on the fucking road in a fucking shitty van, you know, doing the thing. And, you know, Marco was doing his Jazz Farmers thing, and Scott was in Rana, and, you know, Dave Drywitz fucking, you know, he's been, you know, he's older than all of us. He's been doing this thing forever. You know, it's, we really, really worked hard for so long, and we all, you know, played original music and did our thing. And, you know, none of this shit was handed to us. You know, it's like we are good at what we do because of the years of work we put in together, you know, in the van. You know, I mean, we all played in bands together, you know, whether it was, you know, those guys with Bustle or me and most of the dudes have all been in American Babies at one point in time, or, you know, I toured with the Duo for years, or, you know, it's like we've all been doing shit together, and we learned the language. It's the same thing with the Moore guys. You know, it's why that band's good too. It's the time that we put in getting to know each other and getting to know a language together, you know. And you know, J-Rad, we can do what we do with any song,
which
you know?
You do,
which we've, you know, I think we've proven. Yeah, you know, like, it's not just the Grateful Dead. I mean, like, we can, you know, play a set of fucking Dan Fogelberg and it'll be fucking insane if we wanted to, you know.
Let's not do that. And it was like the 9-year anniversary of the band, of J-Rad, like yesterday,
right?
Or the day before.
Yeah.
True or false that you were really the only guy that had a lot of Grateful Dead knowledge? That well, Russo did because he was with Further, but aside from that, you were the only guy that had intimate knowledge of these songs, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, you know, the shit that ended up happening in those tunes and especially that first show or whatever, you know, there's like the superimposing songs over each other and all the teeth, you know, all that stuff. me and the original Brothers Pass guys, that's the shit we used to do. We were playing in bars outside of Philly, you know, it was, you know, we all knew that catalog so intimately inside and out. And, you know, I got to a point where, like I was saying, when we got to a point where we said we wanted to find our own voice and do our own thing, we all stopped listening to that music. You know, I stopped listening to The Dead in like 99, I guess. And I didn't start listening to him again until Joe got the gig in Further, you know? And I never played that shit ever, you know? Like I was always trying to find some other stuff to do, like, you know? So when your first J-Rad gig came up, yeah, it was like, all right, these tunes. And it was the same thing like with the Moore shit. It's like, oh, I haven't played these songs in 10 years, but the muscle memory was there and, you know, it was just like, oh yeah, man, this is just like when me and my brother hang out with acoustic guitars. We just play through all these Dead tunes. It's, you know, it's a, you know, being playful with it, I think, is also a thing that people really reacted to. Like, you know, we weren't taking ourselves seriously and we still don't take ourselves seriously. You know, it's.
I think the only people that do are the fans, right? I mean, the fans, the J-Rad fans take it, you know, very seriously. And you know that I'm friendly with a lot of the people that do take it a little too seriously. It's become quite the cult, the J-Rad cult. And when you hear people from the J-Rad family talking in other channels or, you know, just talking in the Facebook channel, it's quite cult-like. It's pretty amazing.
I don't know. Scenes weird, man. And, you know, and I appreciate that there are people that like music that we play. And I just stop it there. I don't want to, you know, scenes are weird, man. Scenes can get weird.
We talked about Moore. We talked about J-Rad. You mentioned the Ghost Light thing. The Lacuna shows were fun. The couple that you've done already and you're doing, well, I think you have one more set. Those have been really fun.
Yeah, that shit's crazy, man. That's like, that is bananas. That, you know, it is, and it's very hard. That's like the most difficult of all the stuff because there's no jumping off point, you know? Like, there's no, like, you know, hey, let's count off Corduroy Joe and we're going to jam, or Bertha, or, like, you know, whatever. This is just, like, pure pulling it out of the ether. And it's cool, man. You know, it's 90 minutes of Holly and I just being hyper focused, you know, on each other and what it is we're doing, and being as in there's only two of us, and we're both using acoustic instruments. You know, I mean, they're through a bunch of shit, but it's still acoustic instruments, which you can really we improvise in the nuance, you know, like there's so much space that you can really get in there with a really small screwdriver, you know, and it's crazy. It's like, you know, it's like improvising with like those like glasses that like jewelers wear, you know, you're like really in it's a different thing. It's very challenging for both of us.
Should sort of improve the jams, I would imagine, in the Ghost Light sessions, right? I mean, having that language, yes. Now, right?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing with her and I, we've kind of always had it, you know, that was the impetus for Ghostlight. You know, I mean, Holly had sat in with American Babies a couple times, and, you know, I mean, we didn't know each other and we didn't talk, we were hanging out, you know, it was just like, hey, sit in. And we just started talking with our instruments and really understanding the conversation and having a conversation. You know, it was very, you know, you speak, I speak, you speak, you know, like just coming back and forth, not like, you know, yeah. And it was just like, oh, hey, that's interesting, you know? And, so, you know, it's something that we definitely organically just have. And yeah, I would think the Lacuna stuff is certainly, it, it, is keeping us sharp for Ghostlight, you know.
And you will have another potential player when Mr. Bowling Jr. gets ready to play. He'll be well equipped to be in the studio or doing anything. I mean, he's growing up on the road. It's so cool, man. That's great for them that they can take their son out on the road and have fun.
And I love babies, so it's like it's really nice, you know, having them. You know, he was out with us for the Lacuna tour, and yeah, man, it's great. You know, it's just really fun to have just, you know, this that energy there. You know,
How soon is the Ghostlight record going to wrap up? Like, are we going to see something probably towards the spring and the summer, you think?
Yeah, we're gonna put a single out probably before the next run of shows in March. But the full length isn't going to be out until like September.
But you'll be road testing some of that stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to fucking, you know, man, it's like, we got all these tunes and, you know, we could, it's like, why wait for, you know, it's like, you don't have to wait for the record, man. Like let's get out there. And also it's like, man, we haven't played in so fucking long. We haven't toured in so fucking long. I don't want to go back out there and just be kicking around the same batch of tunes or like the only thing new to our show is like new covers, you know, like it's a lazy, easy way out, you know, to just be like, well, just add some covers into the thing. Oh, fuck that, man. You know? So it's like, we got these new songs that we really love. This record's fucking cool as shit. And it's like, yeah, let's just go do that, man. You know, 9-10 new tunes. And then on top of that, yeah, okay, we'll put in a couple new covers, I'm sure. But like, let's make the focus on our songs, you know, like that's, you know, like what's the fucking point otherwise, man? And especially for Holly and I, it's like, you know, I play covers all the fucking time with J-Rap.
Holly does,
you know,
too,
yeah. I don't want to do that. You know, and exactly. And outside of Ghostlight, Holly does too. It's like, we don't need to do that. You know, that itch is fucking scratched, you know, like let's make sure we're trying to do some original music that is, you know, trying to say something and do something cool, you know?
And maybe we'll have a more record too eventually.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd say we're probably a couple tunes away still from like having enough for a full record. But yeah, I mean, like once the Ghostlight record's finished, I'll probably take a little bit of time to like not be in the studio, you know. It's like it's a lot of work, man, you know, making an album. And, you know, for the way things are, I mean, basically since after Christmas, I've spent every day off. I'm in the studio 8 to 10 hours a day working on, you know, whether it was just like doing the overdubs or mixes or, you know, all the stuff that needs to happen to get this record finished. So yeah, it's a lot of work. And so I'll probably take a little time off and kind of cleanse the palate.
By the way, I call bullshit on that because you don't take time off, really.
No, and well, by time off, I mean time out of the studio. I got to go on tour. Yeah. And you know, and that's the thing, touring's gonna start back up. You know, Ghostlight has a run in March. J-Rad's first dates of the year are in February. So, you know, I'm gonna get out of the studio for a little while, go live, you know, live outside of here for a little bit. And then yeah, man, probably come summer, the more guys, you know, depending on how the new materials come in, we'll start tracking it, you know.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Billy and the Kids. Is there any talk of, I mean, the last couple of shows,
there's always a lot of talk. Well, I mean, you know, like we're all interested in it, but it's you know, it's there's a, you know, we Dead and Company and J-Rad and Ghostlight and the Disco Biscuits. These are a lot of calendars. You know, these are a lot of calendars that you have to, you know, go around. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know, you know, it's, I mean, Billy's Strings isn't like, you know, I mean, like we always have had different other guitar players. So I don't even know if Billy, you know, if Strings is even in on playing, you know, like who knows? I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't make those calls. That's a you know, Mr. Kreutzmann and that camp does. But you know, it's like we started out and it was just the four of us. And then, you know, we did shows. We had Kraz do a couple shows. Al from Mo did a show. You know, Bobby, you know, did a bunch with us. You know, we were hoping that would just be he would just be the other guy, you know. But then Dead and Company started. And then did we do anything after Bob? No. Well, then I guess, yeah, then
those last four shows.
Yeah, the last shows have all been with Billy Strings. So I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe the next ones have a different guitar player, or maybe Strings is in it again. You're talking about a busy dude. You know, that kid's busy as fuck.
It's too bad, right? He's so good. Yeah, they're all, it's so good. The scene is really good. You know what? The scene from bluegrass to EDM and everything in between, the scene right now is just really vibrant. Even with people being locked up for a year and a half, the amount of music in the scene and the camaraderie of the musicians in the scene and the fans in the scene, it hasn't been like this in, well, back to the Wetlands days, probably. I mean, it really, seriously.
It's pretty great, man. You know, I mean, and Billy Strings, you know, particularly is, I mean, he's the real deal, man. And he fucking went out there and he's been working his dick off for fucking almost a decade of just being out there doing it. And, you know, what can he say about that? You know, what can you say about that other than good for fucking him, man? He's earned it. He's earned every fucking bit of it. And he's a monster player, a fucking great hang. You know, I'm happy.
Dude, thanks again for music and for spending the time.
Well, I appreciate, you know, you having any interest in more, man. I love that band and I love talking about it and I hope people get into it and check it out and these songs are great songs and they deserve to be heard and the players are brilliant players and what we do as a group, I think, is very special and pretty unique in a lot of ways. So, you know, yeah, man, if anybody out there is listening, you know, give more a shot, man. It's really good stuff.
Thanks, dude. Thanks again. And we'll see. Hopefully we'll catch you on the road in February or March.
Thanks, Ira. Take care, man.
Tom Hamilton Jr. What a guy. Seriously, dig everything he does because I know it comes from a sincere and authentic place and generally sounds really good. For more on more, visit TomHamiltonJr.com or give him a follow on Instagram or Facebook. Before we leave you, let's go back to the first Moore live session that were released last year under the moniker Oozazoos. Here is Fallen.
Too late.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.